Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
We do, though, have Steve Kerr, brought to you by Xfinity. Stay connected, protected, and entertained. Steve, thank you very much for joining us. Always appreciate your time. Steph's MRI today revealed the partial dislocation. I'm not a doctor, but man, good news that there is no surgery attached. But when I hear he'll be reevaluated in 2 weeks, that makes me and makes a lot of the basketball world think he could be out about a month here. Do you feel that way?
I have no idea how long he'll be out. I'm just relieved that it was not more serious and that he will be back. So, yeah, that was good news today.
Ray and I were just talking about how replacing him in just the minutes he rests during a game has been quite a head scratcher and a headache for you guys. So looking at any sort of, you know, sustained absence of Steph Curry is obviously bad news for him, but it does create opportunity for others. And I guess there's some silver lining. We are going to see more Poole. We're going to see more Moody, Clay, Greenlight personified.
Yeah, I mean, when guys go down, there's always opportunity for other players, and that'll be the case here. And we're going to have to, hold down the fort because it's not going to be easy. It's been a rough go anyway, even with Steph, especially on the road. The good news is, we obviously with the news today, Steph will be back with lots of season left, and it doesn't feel like anybody's running away with the West. And as long as we can just stay within striking range, we feel good about our team, when we're healthy. So we just gotta navigate the path and go from there.
How when you saw him get hurt and you saw the reaction on his face, are you by nature in that moment a pessimist, like thinking, oh God, it's the year, or oh God, it's 3 months? Do you go to the dark place when you see a guy get hurt, or have you learned how to just process that, as it comes?
Yeah, I mean, there's really nothing you can do about it when it happens, and last night it happened late in the third quarter, so we're right in the middle of a close game, and we got to turn our attention to the game itself. So I didn't really have time to think much about it. And then as soon as we got into the locker room, I was able to talk to Steph briefly. And he thought that, and he was right, that it wasn't going to be too serious. So it was all, it all felt like this is something that's going to be manageable.
He was absolutely cooking right up into that injury, too. I mean, he was just playing a spectacular game. The injury seemed like just such a benign play, a play that is made in an NBA game 25, 35, 45 different times, and the way that Steph has completely rocked up his body, I was stunned to see him come away, but it just shows you how precious and delicate it all is, and shoulders and knees and ankles, these are really not friends to athletes.
Yeah, I mean, these guys take a beating, and we pay for it later on in life. Trust me, everything hurts now for me. So it's part of it. And, Steph is such an incredible athlete in terms of his dedication to his conditioning and his endurance. And he'll find a way over the next couple of weeks to maintain his body the best way he can. And he's always figuring it out as he goes physically. And but you're right, he was amazing last night. He's had a spectacular season, and hopefully in the end this is just a blip, and he gets a little rest the next 2-3 weeks, and then he comes back strong. So that's the hope.
How thankful is your medical staff that this is his offhand, his non-shooting shoulder?
Yeah, I didn't really talk to Rick yet about that, but I would assume that plays a role. That's helpful, especially in his recovery. I would think he'd be more likely to be able to shoot and stuff, you know, before he comes back, just given that his right shoulder is healthy. But I don't know. We'll see how it all unfolds the next couple of weeks.
Without telling me what the actual answer to this is, I'm going to ask, how much time have you spent since the end of last night to thinking about the new rotations? I mean, how quickly do you sort of go from, God, that really sucks for him, to, oh my God, I got to fix this?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you start thinking about it almost immediately. And first, in the context of, you know, what does it mean for the Sixers? How do we handle that game? And then in terms of what does it mean for, you know, the next couple of weeks against everybody else? Joel Embiid is so unique as a player that, you know, you have to think of the Sixers a little differently than you would, you know, any other team. But, you know, we are about to head to dinner as a staff and hash all this stuff out, and hopefully, you know, come up with a good plan to put some good combinations on the floor and find the right path.
Steve Kerr here on 95.7 The Game. Are you a stress eater? Will there be an extra dessert tonight with all this?
I'm really not. I'm relatively calm at this stage of my career. You know, other than that Milwaukee game the other night when I lost my mind on the refs, but for the most part, I'm able to, you know, stay pretty rational about all this stuff. I mean, it's, your injuries are part of it. You know, losses are part of it. It's this gig is not easy for players or for coaches, and that's why we celebrate the way we do when we win, because it's really hard. But that's the challenge, and that's something that we all kind of look forward to each day.
You know, one of the things that I think is a little difficult about this whole thing too is because you're now going to get the opportunity to evaluate some players, give some more minutes to, you know, obviously Jordan Poole, I'm assuming, is going to be starting games here. You know, Moses Moody comes into focus, and as important as the minutes will be and the growth and practice and development that they need, how do you actually evaluate whatever you're about to see, knowing that the Warriors really aren't the Warriors, or showing any sort of evaluation period without Steph Curry? I mean, you have talked time and time again how difficult it is to play around the core of this group. So how do you evaluate independent progress without the main cog that is Steph Curry?
Well, you don't worry about that stuff too much. You just try to win each game, and you try to put the best combinations that you can on the floor. You know, one of the reasons that I play Ty Jerome, you know, in games when we're shorthanded, is we need an organizer. We need a guy to help us get organized and make play calls and you know, get us into a position to succeed. And so it's not a case where you can say, all right, Steph's out, well, let's just play all our young guys, or let's play this group of five. You got to find the right combinations, and that changes as soon as Steph goes out. You know, combinations change because of the difference in the talent level. So that's what we have to figure out. And within that, we're just teaching the young guys and watching film with them and giving them their opportunities, and it's all part of their development.
In terms just of the process of trying to figure out new combinations, do you have sort of a guide to how long you feel comfortable that should take, or is it just you're frantically trying to keep up the wallpaper until it sticks?
Yeah, it depends on what time of the year it is. I think early in the year, you're much more likely to give something, you know, 8 or 10 games. And now that we're, you know, a third of the way into things, it's a little different. You know, you can't afford to give certain combinations a long rope. You have to get results right away, and so you're much more likely to make quicker decisions.
Steve Kerr here on Damon and Ratto. You've just announced there are some reinforcements on the way from Santa Cruz. James Wiseman and Ryan Rollins are going to be with you, I believe, as early as tomorrow. Can we expect to see them on the court tomorrow? What will their ask be?
We'll see. You know, they're going to take the red eye tonight, which is not easy. You know, so hopefully they'll get some sleep on the plane, and they'll come to shoot around in the morning, and they'll be suited up for tomorrow night. But at this point, I imagine with Embiid, it'll be a committee trying to guard him, and so I would think James will be out on the floor some. And
it's a nice welcome back to the NBA, right? That's a rough welcome back. First assignment is Joel Embiid. Go at it, kid. That's tough. I've looked at Andre Iguodala as someone who is going to be there, like break in case of emergency. And inside, you don't pull the fire alarm, but you pull Andre Iguodala into your rotation. Should I just stop asking about Andre Iguodala at this point? Or is there a situation that has just presented himself that it's going to accelerate his timeline and he's going to be out there playing maybe sooner than the original plan might have been?
He's going to play at some point, but we just don't have a date. I mean, the whole point is we just want him healthy in the playoffs. And he's working every day with our training staff. He's getting shots up. So the answer is yes. Just stop asking, and at some point he'll be back out on the floor, and then we can talk about him then.
Well, let me ask this then, since I'm not going to ask directly about that. Will you know he's ready when he starts getting impatient to play again? How much of a metric is that?
He'll just, you know, he and the training staff will tell me. They'll say, all right, let's ramp it up, and, you know, he's going to play next Tuesday, whatever it is. So I'm not overly concerned about that because I've got a, you know, I've got enough stuff to worry about. And whenever that time comes, then I'll be excited to get him back out there.
Make a list of the things you're worried about in order.
Number one, Steph's injury. How's that for a start?
Okay.
3, 4, and 5 as well, don't you think?
No, I'm not sure I really want to go down that path, but...
No, I'm saying Steph could qualify for all of them.
Yeah, he sort of factors into all of them for sure, but, you know, we got to play better on the road. I mean, I think we're 2-13 or something, 2-12, whatever it is. that's just so unlike us. So we've got to connect the game. It just feels like when we're on the road, we are getting scattered offensively and we're too chaotic, you know, taking bad shots or turning it over. We had 23 turnovers, 24 turnovers last night, I think, and that leads to bad defense. And it's a hard recipe, you know, to throw in there if you think you're going to win on the road. So we got to get solid.
You know, after that win over the Celtics, Draymond said something that I believe in. I think you guys can beat anybody at home. At home, you're officially still the Golden State Warriors, but on the road again, it's like the Orlando Magic, and it's got to leave you scratching your head. You just kind of went into some detail about the scatteredness of it all. Are you more easily intimidated with the, you know, makeup of this team than you were a year ago? Any rhyme or reason to such a huge pendulum in between who you are at home and who you are on the road? And is there any fear that who you are on the road isn't necessarily who you really are? But that's, I've always said, like, who you're at home is, it shows you where it could go, the pinnacle, how far it could go, the potential that you have to be as good as humanly possible. But you are kind of who you are on the road. Do you feel that way?
I mean, if you're going to be a team that goes places, you have to win some road games for sure. Because that's what, you know, Raymond always has the stat. However many playoff series in a row we've won a road game, That's a really significant stat.
Yeah.
And I forget what it is, 25 or something.
Basically all of them.
Yeah, pretty much, you know, for the last 9 years or so, 10 years, the Warriors have won a road playoff game. So that's a good indicator that you got a championship contender. So we have to be better, and we will. It's just taking time. We've got young players who are doing a great job. You know, Moses Moody has played well the last couple of weeks, and Kuminga's been you know, much better and settling into a good role. And we've got our new guys are now, I think, finding themselves. Dante has been really good. JaMychal had an excellent game last night. So, you know, we're finding roles for guys, but it's not coming together. You know, it still has to come together, and that's probably going to take some more time, especially with Steph out.
Before this season, and I'm not asking you to compare this to any of those, but what was the longest time it took for you to feel like the parts were meshing to the point where the game was in fact connected on a routine basis?
Before this season, meaning in all of the seasons that I've coached here with the Warriors?
Yeah.
I guess two, you know, you kind of throw out the injury year.
Yeah.
When everybody was out. But 2 years ago when we lost in the play-in, it took us three quarters of the season to find ourselves. And you know, we were really good over the last 20 games or so. But it took a long time for us to find it. And it just varies. Every year is different, and the circumstances are different. Personnel is different. And we've got to keep plugging away.
Steve Kerr with us here on 95.7 The Game, just for a few more minutes, specifically about last night. You're down 12 with 8 minutes to play, which is the equivalent of, you know, being down 4 in the modern NBA. and Draymond gets tossed. You know, with Curry nursing an injury back in the locker room, Draymond just cannot stop talking to an official long enough to not get thrown out of the game. How much does that frustrate you?
Well, it's frustrating, but it's I'm okay with it. It had been a rough game for Draymond. He had a couple of questionable travel calls on him. He's frustrated. Draymond is who he is, and so you can't embrace the passion and the desire and the competitiveness that leads to championships and leads to this amazing era that we're in. And then separate that from the ejections. Like, it doesn't work that way. It's all part of the package. So I love Draymond. He's the ultimate champion, the ultimate winner. He lives on the edge in this league, and sometimes he goes over, and he always comes back. So I'm good with it. I will ride with Draymond forever.
Is there anything, and this may be an idiot's question, but since you consider the source, you can make the proper assumption. Is there anything to the notion that Draymond has been in the league often enough that when he feels an official is frustrating him, that he could have the presence of mind to go maybe to the veteran official in the group to make his case rather than the guy who offended him? Or is that too much of an ask for any player?
Well, you saw a couple nights ago in Milwaukee, in what was a tough night for him and for all of us, he calmly went over to the official and pointed out the fan who was threatening him, you know, he's absolutely capable of, calmly handling a situation, but it's not always going to be that way. And like I said, I embrace Draymond for who he is, because he cares dramatically about the outcome and about his play. He's passionate about the team, about the Warriors, passionate about everything. And, he's occasionally going to get tossed from a game. He's going to get a lot of technicals. That's all part of it. And you live with that.
I know you're a big sports fan. I know you love a great sports story. What do you think of what Brock Purdy has done with the 49ers.
Well, it's awesome, you know, and I think a little bit of the NBA when I see the success that he's had after, I think, playing 4 years in college, right? Did he play 4 years?
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
Yeah, and I think there are some comparisons to be made. You see some of the young quarterbacks who come into the league and they haven't played that much. Just going to take longer to develop, and sometimes you get, these guys who maybe weren't as highly regarded, who play 4 years in college, a la Draymond Green and Brock Purdy, guys who weren't first round picks and weren't these prospects, so to speak, coming out of college, and then and you're suddenly reminded, that guy started a million games and he has been trained for this way more than the young guys, and so I like this story. I mean, he's playing great, and it's great for the city, great for the team. But a good reminder, too, that all these young guys in every sport, they need reps. They need experience.
Who do you like Saturday morning?
Well, I picked Argentina in the pool, the team pool. So I'm sticking with Argentina.
I lied to you. It was Sunday. I'm sorry.
Oh, Sunday. I didn't know either. So you're good.
So you're going to really be riveted to it based on the fact that neither of us know what day the game is.
Exactly. I will be watching, though. It's been fun. It's been great to watch. I was captivated by Morocco. They put up an amazing fight, and just to get as far as they did, and then to pressure France the entire second half. They were just peppering that goalie. They were amazing to watch, and then to see all the Moroccan fans in the stands crying, and just the passion, the emotion of sports. That's what we love.
Steve, speaking of passion, emotion, and games on Saturdays, last Saturday, and this is maybe the only good news that I can deliver to you this week, you don't have to get me minutes in Paris with the Olympic team after all. My Hoosiers go down to your Wildcats, who... they got NBA size up front. They are absolutely huge, and they got shooters. Indiana got inside outed about as hard as I've seen Indiana get inside outed in a really long time. Arizona, Final Four, write it down.
I did not see the game we were playing that night, but I will report to you that Will Sheehy, former Hoosier on our staff, we had a bet, and Will was forced to wear an Arizona T-shirt at practice the next day, and it brought me great joy.
Did he regard it as the great shame of his life, as he should?
He definitely was somewhat humiliated, which made it all the better.
Give my regards to Will and tell him I'm ready for a beer. Swap some war stories.
I will let him know.
Thank you so much, Steve. Good luck the rest of this road trip, and we always appreciate your time. Have a good dinner tonight.
All right. Thanks, guys. We'll see you later.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.